if we're more upbeat on today's podcast compared to last Tuesday, that's because we are. Welcome into Fantasy Football Today DFS on Tuesday, September 28th. Frank Stanfield joined as always by Mike McClure and Sia Najad here to recap our cash game lineups. We've got some GPP reviews, some interesting teams that we want to look at that we threw together this last week. FFT DFS contest winner, we'll take a look at that winning lineup. It was a nice week for Mike there too. He finished in the top 10. Sia and myself, Not so much there. And we will take an early look at week four pricing and the Thursday night football showdown slate between the Jaguars and the Bengals. Mike, how you doing? I have a feeling it was a better week.
It was a much better week. Yeah, doing well. Bounced right back to, it's very similar to week one. Lineup construction-wise, results-wise, everything was great. So got that second week out of there. Feels good to come back with a win. And in, as far as cash games go, be 2-1 on the season. Feeling good.
All right, Sia, with you, I'm not so sure where we're at because I saw some tweets on Sunday, some Hollywood Brown drops, some AJ Brown injuries. Where are we at? How was week three for you?
So we'll look at a couple of my lineups today. I mean, obviously, I built quite a few, and a lot of them had Lamar Jackson to Marquise Hollywood Brown. Like you said, Frank, we're going to have to change that nickname because it's not fitting anymore. I also had AJ Brown. So really, within a matter of 5 minutes, AJ Brown pulled up with a hamstring and Marquise Brown dropped two touchdowns, arguably three, because, you know, one of them got tipped. But that was really the story. I did pretty well. But I'll say this, if Hollywood Brown had caught two of those, and they were for long bombs, one was for like 80, the other one was for about 40, that would have helped my Lamar Marquise stack in such a way that I think I would have been looking at a couple takedowns. But here we are.
Yep, here we are indeed. I don't know. We're going to have to think about that nickname because he was anything but Hollywood. I don't know what he was, but sheesh, that was a rough game for Marquise Brown. And, you know, if he goes off there, he catches those touchdowns, then maybe, you know, TJ Hockenson has a better game. You know, the game becomes more competitive, a little bit more back and forth there. So things definitely could have changed there, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe week four is the week for Lamar Jackson and his pass catchers. Let's find out a little bit later on. Let's jump in cash game lineups. We will start with Mike, who was the head honcho this week, putting up 171.7 with his cash game lineup. And he goes with the quad stack. Patrick Mahomes at 3% ownership. Then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mecole Hardman, and Travis Kelce at his flex. That is right. Dual tight end strategy with Jared Cook at tight end at 3,900. Mike, how did we get to this lineup construction in cash?
Well, as always, some people may not like this, but it came directly from the optimizer, from my projections. But how we got there is Dalvin Cook was ruled out and Alexander Mattison became an absolute must play for me at this price point, looking at the usage he was going to have. So because of that, it definitely shifted things around. It allowed me to... You already knew in the week I was playing Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, like I will most weeks, especially if they're coming off a loss. But we like them at home in games that we think are going to be competitive because they're going to force feed Travis Kelce just like they did again here. And then I ran it with Mecole Hardman because he was one of the best values on the slate. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, same thing, one of the best values on the slate. Still correlated to Patrick Mahomes' success relatively highly. So that's how we got there. As far as Jared Cook, I do have rules when I'm optimizing that if I'm playing a quarterback with two of their pass catchers, which would be Hardman and Travis Kelce, that I must have one player on the other side of the game. The only options the optimizer really would have had based on the build that I was building here would have been Austin Eckler or Jared Cook. Because of the wide receivers, I was already on Godwin and Kupp, which are correlated in that same game. So it would have been not playing Madison and playing Austin Eckler, or it became play Jared Cook, Travis Kelce in the flex. And one thing you'll notice about this lineup, and I hope I'm not stealing what you might want to say next, is I did not care about the chalk at all on those core plays. They were core plays that I mentioned on Sportsline. They're core plays that a lot of people probably had, but Madison, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kupp, Godwin, you see those numbers all highly owned, but the lineup became low owned overall because of Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Mecole Hardman, Jared Cook. So it does look like a chalk lineup, but it really was a very, very unique lineup, which allowed me to have a really nice day when guys like Hockenson did not perform well.
Yeah, and you'll see when we get to my cash game lineup, I had Patrick Mahomes as well. I think everybody else in my lineup was over 20% owned, but it just happened to be a good cash week. A lot of those players hit, and we'll get to that in just a second. We recently broke 100 Apple Podcast reviews, so big thanks to everybody who left one. But we did receive our first non-5-star review, which is perfectly fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. This came from, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Kinimi90. He says, really unfortunate result of technology. Optimizers must be the reason for two of these guys having platforms. I guess Sia is scared to call out his buddies. You can't tell people it's okay to play a quarterback and three pass catchers in cash lineups. Almost seems like a ploy, which is interesting because we come on here every single week and we show you our lineups, the lineups that we are playing with. So I don't really know how it's a ploy if we're actually putting our money where our mouths are. But I don't know, Mike, how would you defend yourself to our friend Kanimi here?
I would argue the opposite. Optimizers are definitely not an unfortunate. They're a very fortunate result of technology for me here as it allowed me to get to this. I'd say play the best plays. It's what the best plays are sometimes. They're there for a reason. But yeah, I will continue to recommend it. I will tell you that DFS, especially in NFL in the year 2021, there's not much of a difference between cash games and tournaments as there was, say, in 2013, 2014. So I think you're always going to be better off making a correlated play. A correlated play is likely going to be one where you're going to have guys that are on the same team or in the same game. And if you know anything about Patrick Mahomes and this offense, or frankly, Dak Prescott, when they are in games that we think we're going to be competitive, you know that they like to throw the football. You know that Patrick, even at the goal line, will have the little touch pass that was recorded as a passing touchdown several times throughout the year. So I will ignore the comments. I actually don't read them, so I hadn't seen it until you brought them to me. It's one thing that I never really do. I don't concern myself with others too often. So yeah, I think that it's smarter to play every format more like a tournament than a cash game, which is kind of what I've done here.
All right, see, we haven't heard from you for a while, so don't be scared. Feel free to call us out.
Well, I mean, yeah, Mike's literally the last person in the world I would call out from a DFS standpoint. But I will say that Kanimi, or however you pronounce it, first of all, thanks for watching. Yeah, that's great. And we don't mind constructive criticism. Unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things where, like Mike said, and we said this before the season started, some of these lineup constructions, some of these builds are not, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, so to speak. Like, it's different now. And so I bet Kanimi wouldn't think that a cash lineup would be comprised of four people from the same team, because we're used to just kind of pick and chalk, you know, out of certain games and then just, you know, making a lineup. Well, I don't think most people think that you could put four guys in a cash lineup and be this successful with this type of score at 171.7.
Yeah. So, look, we're just having fun with it, too. Feel free to send in whatever comments you have. You're entitled to your opinion, as we mentioned. And there's already been some, like, fun YouTube comments and stuff. So, whatever. Like, we'll have fun with it. We do appreciate you checking in, watching, listening, wherever you might be finding Fantasy Football Today DFS. All right, so I'm going to throw up my cash game lineup here on the screen. And you will see in just a moment that I also had Patrick Mahomes here as my quarterback. And for most of the week, I was basically on paying up for a quarterback. That's just where I was. I was settled on, I was going to use one of Mahomes, one of Kyler Murray, or one of Lamar Jackson. So I settled on Patrick Mahomes. He's only 2.8% ownership. And I actually think he ran kind of bad, even with scoring three touchdowns. He had that fluky that interception, which hit off one of his receiver's hands and stuff. And ultimately, they lose the game, right? Like, the Chiefs are 1-2, which is just absolutely crazy. But yeah, I was going to ask. See, I'll throw this one your way. Is it okay to play Patrick Mahomes without any of his pass catchers? Because that's actually what I did here. I did have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but yeah, I didn't have any of his pass catchers because I love the value everywhere else.
Yeah, I think it's totally okay. I think sometimes you can do that in GPPs. We're going to look at one of my GPPs where, I honestly almost have it up here. We'll look at it because it's not correlated the way it's not stacked the way you would think. I think there are certain guys, especially if the share isn't concentrated, where you can get away with doing that. We know Mahomes, obviously, that it's concentrated with him, with Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But yeah, I mean, he's going to score a ton of points. So if Hill and Kelce don't fit in your lineup because you like all these other guys, I genuinely don't have a problem with it. I would say this, you know, typically I'd want to be in Mike's camp in terms of what his cash lineup looks like in terms of the correlation in a game that I think is going to shoot out with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But no, I think you can absolutely do this. There's a handful of guys I think you can do this with, and Mahomes is one of them.
A quick aside, I saw a lot of people using Justin Fields in cash this week at 5,200, and I understand that he's like a cheap rushing quarterback, but that was never even in my mind. It was not on my radar, not in consideration, at least not in cash. Like I was just something that I was not thinking about at all. Mike, did it surprise you that as many people use Justin Fields as they did?
Not necessarily, no. You know, there's obviously people around the industry that tout it, but it's an attractive play. And the reason for that is we just saw him the week before run for 60 rushing yards. That's, you know, you get in the end zone right there, you have a massive floor at a price point that is nowhere near someone like Patrick Mahomes on a slate when we know we had wide receivers we wanted to pay up for. The only thing I can say that I don't understand is that there were people that played Fields that didn't elect to pay up for Travis Kelce at the tight end position at the same time. That's where they obviously all got in trouble. You know, it's obviously hindsight is 2020. I personally thought that they would key in on Hockenson and not have the huge game. Did I expect him to have two receptions for 10 yards? Of course not. Absolutely not. Yeah, I think this line, do you want me to tell you what I would do differently on this lineup, if anything?
I'll just run through the lineup and then you can kind of pick it apart here. I mentioned that every other player outside of Patrick Mahomes in my lineup was at least 19% owned in this contest. So I had Austin Eckler, I had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin correlated in that lineup. I had Tyler Boyd once I knew that there was no T. Higgins playing in week three. T.J. Hockenson, who, you know, coming into last week, he was second in the NFL in routes run, and he led the Lions in target share. So I felt really good about his role and I guess somewhat paying up at 5,200 for a tight end. And then Marvin Jones just seems like the go-to guy for the Jaguars, and he's still too cheap at 4,900. I felt like the Bengals' defense was pretty obvious, and they were 30% owned. And I actually think their defense might be decent, and that's kind of in conjunction with Big Ben looking as bad as he has. So, yeah, feel free to pick it apart now, Mike.
I don't want to really pick it apart. I actually think it's a really good lineup. So there's one thing that I would have done differently. Well, two things I would have done differently for sure. One of them is I would have played Alexander Mattison, but obviously we didn't have a show. We didn't talk about it. Like a lot of people that are watching this probably missed out on that as well. Just an unfortunate product of very, very late news confirming it. But at 6K, I would have played Mattison like I jammed him in 100% of my lineups this week. And then I probably wouldn't have played Tyler Boyd with the Bengals defense. I probably would have paired Patrick Mahomes with Mecole Hardman. And then in the process of doing that, you know, you could have played someone like Mike Williams to bring it back. But things that, you know, obviously things you do in hindsight. But for me, I would have played Mattison and then I would not have paired Boyd with the Bengals D so much as I would have tried to, at least if you didn't want to play Kelce or Hill, I probably would have played Mecole Hardman still with Patrick Mahomes just because he was 3,900. That's it. Everything else is great. And you had a fantastic result with it.
Yeah. I wind up with 159.5 here. And I felt actually pretty strong about it. Like in weeks past, like, you know, I was a little bit iffy heading into week two, you know, having that triple stack with the Cowboys. But I felt all right about this one going into the day. And I was sitting good going into the afternoon game, so I didn't even have to consider any type of late swap or anything. You basically answered the question for me. Was a bad process to not have either of Saquon Barkley or Alexander Mattison, who were both higher owned than Eckler or CEH in this spot? But yeah, kudos to you. You were all over Clyde last week, and he came through. I was worried early on because after that fumble, I'm like, oh God, what's going to happen here now with Clyde? But
so the only thing I also could say there too is the roster construction would have to look a little different. In situations where we get extreme late news like that, where we know generally we'll have a good idea that those chalk running backs are just simply too cheap. Right? They're just absolutely too cheap for the roles they're going to have. In a cash game, I didn't do it in this one because I was so high on Kelce. But in your case, when you're playing Hockenson and not paying up for someone like Travis Kelce all the way up, I think that your easy move next time is to just simply play all three of the running backs that you really like in that flex there. Just because, like, we know Saquon Barkley, right? If he returns to his old usage, he's not a $6,000 player. He's a $7,500 to $9,000 player. Mattison stepping into that same role, very similar story, not a $6,000 player. So that's just something that you'd want to consider in cash games if you're not making that big spend at a position like tight end that has a little bit different opportunity cost.
All right, let's look at the only lineup that did use Saquon Barkley of the three of us, and that is C's cash game lineup. He puts up 113.08. Lamar Jackson up at the top. Leonard Fournette at just 3% ownership. Saquon Barkley here does his thing. Saquon Barkley, by the way, has played over 84% of the snaps in each of the past 2 weeks, and Devontae Booker was inactive this past week. So I have a feeling that Saquon Barkley is... he's back. He's just back now. Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, Tyler Boyd at wide receiver, TJ Hockenson at tight end, and then Robert Woods at flex with Titans DST. Sia, you made the grave mistake of fading Cooper Kupp. We never fade Cooper Kupp, man. We just cannot fade Cooper Kupp.
And Madison. So, I mean, I actually brought this lineup. I had a few cash lineups like I do every week. This is probably my worst one, if I'm being honest. Like, I didn't cash in my cash lineup, so full disclosure there. But the only reason I brought this one up is kind of like the issues I have with it. I totally agree with Mike. I should have paid up for Madison. I should have found a way to get Fournette out of my lineup and pay up for Madison. I could have done that a number of different ways. And I probably, for one thing, I could have saved some money paying down from the Titans to the Bengals, but I could have saved money elsewhere as well, including at the quarterback position. Now, this would have gone a lot differently if Hollywood Brown, catches a couple of these big time passes, but I don't know that it gets me there. I think the reason I wanted to put this up is because, you saw the chalk that you guys hit, and most of your chalk hit, but the illustration here is more like, not all the chalk hits. So, you don't always have to just play all the guys that you think are chalky. Like Godwin, he was okay. Didn't really hit. Hockenson was really bad. Fournette wasn't chalk, obviously, and you didn't really belong in this lineup. But, game script wise, it just didn't go the right way. Boyd, I think, was a good pick, but Jamar Chase ended up being a better one. So really, all I'm trying to illustrate here is there is good chalk and there is bad chalk. And you guys clearly had most of the good chalk in your lineups, and I had a lot of the bad chalk in my lineups, and that's really the difference.
Look, I think with the Fournette thing, I think that, like, obviously the game flow went haywire there, and Gio Bernard winds up leading the team in receptions with 9, so, like, they're playing from behind for a large majority of the second half of that game, so obviously they get away from Fournette there. It wasn't your week for cash, but let's move on to a GPP lineup that you had, which actually... was pretty damn good, and it also started with Lamar Jackson here up at the top. So throw this one up on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, and you do go with Lamar Jackson. No stack here in this lineup. Austin Eckler and Saquon Barkley, and then you get Justin Jefferson, who has the monster game, almost 30 DK points. Mike Williams, who might be the wide receiver 1 now for the Los Angeles Chargers. It's kind of like a 1A, 1B situation. And then you have Tyler Boyd, Gerald Everett, Leonard Fournette in this lineup, and the Bengals DSC. So what happened here?
Yeah, so this one also isn't very well correlated. Again, this is one of many GPPs that I had, but I guess I wanted to, I was so intent on playing Lamar Jackson that I was going to play him with Marquise Brown, and I was going to play him without Marquise Brown. So this is just me showing you how you can have a lineup get there without the stack. Now, again, that's not what I'm recommending, but we just had the conversation of, hey, can you play Patrick Mahomes naked? Now, granted, that was cash. You don't necessarily want to do that in GPP, but I think it's interesting to at least highlight, this kind of worked out. And if Lamar had an even better day, that would be great. I should have probably correlated this with Marquise Brown, because Marquise Brown honestly should have had 2 touchdowns at 150 yards if we're really being objective about it. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. I played a decent amount of chalk, but pivoting from a Keenan Allen to a Mike Williams, I thought was pretty smart given what we saw the first couple of weeks and what we're seeing with Mike Williams in terms of his route tree and the new offensive coordinator. I absolutely love Justin Jefferson. He was in pretty much all of my lineups. I was hoping for a little bit more out of Boyd, and Everett was a dart throw. That was like a GPP dart throw. I was either going to get there with him. I thought he had a nice matchup. Unfortunately, Disley got a lot of targets, or he didn't get a lot of targets, but he got some of the valuable targets. But Everett got 5 targets and 5 catches too. So that was kind of something I was just trying to throw in there to be different. And then, of course, Leonard Fournette, we've already talked about him. So again, not very well correlated. Most of my lineups are, but I thought this one was an interesting one to look at.
Mike Williams.
Hey, I love that lineup. Oh, sorry, man. I love the lineup. Go ahead. I'll tell you what I would do differently after you're finished.
No, I was just going to bring up Mike Williams' stats through 3 games. 26% targets here. He has 8 red zone targets. He has 4 touchdowns. And again, I don't know that he is the wide receiver 1 because Keenan Allen still has more targets on the season and one more red zone target. So I think it's like a 1A, 1B situation. But they are a lot closer than we thought just heading into the season in terms of their standalone value. But go ahead, Mike. You can give your thoughts on this lineup.
Yeah, the only thing I really would have done differently, which might have led you to a massive score because of Madison, I would have simply played Mecole Hardman over Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is you have Williams and Eckler both. And when you have Williams and Eckler both, thinking through the game script on what that has to look like for both of those guys to get there and give you a big enough score in a tournament, it likely means that the game is competitive and they're not just getting totally blown out, which means it's probably not a huge day for Tyreek. Could be having Hardman there. And then obviously you could have got to Madison.
Exactly.
Fournette potentially, and you're over 200 points.
But, I completely agree. Like to have those two guys in what I think, we all thought was going to be a high scoring affair and not have anybody on the other side was definitely a mistake. And you're right. If I go up to Madison there and I get on to Hardman, I mean, that's potentially a takedown. So it's just one of the, I mean, maybe not, but it's certainly in the top five or top 10 instead of the top 30 or 40 or whatever it was. So great advice. I mean, it's definitely a mistake on my part.
And I think that you'll notice there will be at least one or two ancillary pieces every week in the Chiefs offense that are going to have value just because the Chiefs are as good as they are. And the Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce still make up 50% of the target share for the Chiefs, but Tyreek Hill's been inconsistent to this point. I know he left that game a little bit for last week for a little bit and seems like he was maybe a little bit banged up or dealing with something. But yeah, I think the ancillary pieces in that offense and the Chiefs and then the Cardinals, who we'll get to a little bit later on, we look at week four pricing, like their target share is all over the place and their pricing is all over the place too. So I think that'll be interesting here for week four. Mike, let's take a look at one of your GPP lineups. And last week on Tuesday's pod, you said that you would be interested in Matthew Stafford in that game against the Bucks, and that's exactly what you did here. You throw him in the lineup. He puts up 32.5 DK points, and this looks a lot like your cash game lineup or a cash game lineup because you have Stafford with the dual stack. You have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. You have Chris Godwin on the bring back. You have chalky running backs with Madison and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Hardman and Kelce, those are your guys here, so I think that makes a lot of sense. Did you have any consideration with using a Chargers bring back? Because I know normally if you would have had Mahomes, you know, you have the rule that you have to use one of the Chargers, but even with using one of their two pass catchers without Patrick Mahomes, was there any consideration to try and jam a Charger in this lineup?
There was. The reason that I didn't, so this one was built on the game script that Kansas City just absolutely destroys them. They're at home coming off of a loss and they just cruise. And that is what I built it around. The only other consideration here was only stacking Stafford with Cooper Kupp and then having Woods be one of the Chargers. Ended up not going that way because I did last minute talk myself into making sure that I had the double stack with the quarterback like Stafford. Had a great game from him. That really helped. And then there, frankly, you know, the reason that I won is just I played the three best value plays. So if you're like on Sportsline, you use my data, you use any of the stuff, the three best value plays on the slate for me, two of them were Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Mecole Hardman. They were essentially, if I go to like run the optimizer, I know a lot of you hate the optimizer, but if I go to run it, right, and don't put any settings, any rules, and tell it to build 100 lineups, those two players are going to be in at least 95% of them. That's just how strong their values were that week. So when I'm building these stacks with an optimizer, I tell it, I want Matthew Stafford. And then I have that rule that says I need two of his pass catchers and one person from the other team. Obviously, it picks Kupp and Woods. Obviously, it picks Godwin because he is the top value on the other side. The rest of it is just straight chalk, right? It's Madison was the best value. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the best value. Hardman, the best value. Travis Kelce, the best value because I was clearly lower on Hockenson than everyone else was. And it jammed the best value defense in, which was a $2,100 defense. So it looks like a really smart, really sharp lineup. But it was one click that said, okay, I need a Matthew Stafford lineup that led me to it.
And let me just jump in real quick, Frank, because for those of you that are listening that are like, well, I don't use an optimizer. Well, good news. Mike just told you the rule. So, and it might be intuitive to the listeners already. Well, okay. Well, if I have Mahomes with two pass catchers, yeah, I probably should bring it back with at least one pass catcher from the other side. So don't be intimidated by the idea of an optimizer if you're not using one. Just understand sort of the rule, because we're not just saying, oh, we click a button and we don't explain what that button actually is doing. So Mike does a really good job doing that. So when you hear these rules, make sure you incorporate them into your hand builds. It's really quite easy. You just have to know the rule, and that's what we try to do on every single show.
To that point, you're almost better off in a lot of times if you're going to build a lot of lineups and going to be disciplined about those rules. You're going to come up with better unique lineups than I will with the optimizer. And the reason for that is because I told you I just did that default. I could do that default with every quarterback on the slate. If I told it to do a Tom Brady lineup, it would be bringing it back with the same value plays across the board because they're the best value plays in my model. If you're building by hand, you're not going to always land on the same default value plays. So while it is a more risky strategy and might have more upside when I'm right, but if I'm wrong and I miss on Kelce, Hardman or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all of my lineups are done for the most part in terms of having like massive takedown upside. Whereas if you're building by hand and you're incorporating a few different players because you're doing that by hand. So don't be intimidated by it at all. It's actually a really smart thing to try to do both and then see, compare access to that. Look at the optimizer, what it spits out, look at what you're doing by hand and then think it through and maybe play one of each. Right. So that's my rant on that.
All right. Nice. I do appreciate that. And, you know, I kind of side with our Apple Podcast review earlier, Mike. Just stop being such a robot, all right? No, I'm kidding. I think you did a good job there breaking it down. And look, again, try it out. Try the optimizer and compare and contrast. As Mike mentioned, if you're hand building versus using an optimizer specifically with those rules, I'll pull up a GPP lineup here that I had, and it was a lousy GPP week for me. I'll just kind of show you some kind of roster construction things that I was thinking through when I made this lineup. So I go with Russell Wilson with the dual stack with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And we spoke about this last week using a dual bring back. So I jam Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne in this game. And we basically said only do that if you think a game is going to be ultra competitive and is going to be very high scoring. And I thought that was going to be the case. I thought that there would be a lot of back and forth between the Seahawks and the Vikings, but the Seahawks ultimately let us down in this spot. I also correlated Tyler Higbee with Leonard Fournette. I thought that, you know, the Bucs could be playing with a lead in this game and that the Rams would be chasing points. Tyler Higbee gets there. Obviously, Leonard Fournette does not. And then I correlated Joe Mixon with the Bengals defense. Mixon, I love the workload that we've seen. He's not really getting as many targets as I had hoped. But Mike, I'll go right back to you here in with this lineup. What do you think of the overall construction?
I like it, honestly. I like it a lot. I think this is just an unfortunate product of, I mean, obviously hindsight, you know, what I've been telling you, I probably would have played Madison because I played Madison in every single lineup this week. But other than that, there's nothing objectively wrong with this lineup. And you might point to, well, did I need two bringbacks on the Wilson side? It's always okay to have two bringbacks when the second one is $3,500. Always, always, always okay to do that. The beautiful correlation between Mixon and the Bengals defense just didn't work, right? Just didn't get there. Mixon just didn't have the game. Like if you play this game again and it's 24-10 for them with a win, Joe Mixon is not going to score 10.4 fantasy points again. He's just not. That's the most likely outcome with a 24-10 game that they win where the defense scores 12 points. He's scoring 22-27 fantasy points. And then on the other side, this Seahawks team came out firing. They came out great. And then they just didn't score again in the entire game. But there is an alternative world where this lineup scored 180 points this week, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. In fact, I think it's a really good lineup.
All right. That makes me feel a little bit better. Look, it didn't come through, but this was another one where, yeah, like ultimately a lot of the lineups that I made this week, like I felt good. I felt like a lot of things kind of made sense there. So definitely we'll take the praise there of Mike McClure. Let's quickly hit on one more lineup here. The winner of our Fantasy Football Today DFS contest over on DraftKings, which we run every week, 150 entries, $5. The top 15 gets paid out. We will have the link for that contest later on in the week, and we will we'll tweet it out. We'll have it in our podcast description, the YouTube description as well. Shout out to the gentleman who won, or gentlewoman, Beddoes, BEDDOWSS, puts up 181.74 on DraftKings to take it down. He had, or she, had Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and Mike Williams in the lineup with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travis Kelce. We see KJ Osborne, Tyler Boyd, and then Chase Edmonds with the Cardinals defense there. With the Cardinals defense, by the way, looks awesome. Trevor Lawrence does not to this point. Sia, what'd you think about this lineup, which took down our FFT DFS contest?
I mean, the stack is beautiful with a pass catching running back and Mike Williams. And then, of course, you know, bringing it back, if you can fit Kelce into that lineup, you know, you're in really good shape. We talked about the last week. We talked about the, I mean, Mike specifically, the value of Clyde Edwards-Helaire all week. So no mystery there. That was a good guy to jam in there. KJ Osborne. I mean, a lot of these 3K receivers, I understand that their route share is pretty good, but, you know, you are kind of taking a big risk there, but he had to do that because of the way he built his lineup. I think it's great. Side note, you know, a lot of people are starting to pay attention to our DraftKings contest. Well, hopefully I want to get it up to 200, 500, you know, maybe in a month or two, wishful thinking maybe, but one of my friends joined the contest and he was at 179.8 and he had Sterling Shepard in his lineup. So to my friend Franchise, otherwise known as Don Nizzle, I think on DraftKings, he built a great lineup. He just had he had an injury.
Oh, right. Yeah. Look, Justin Herbert finally gets there here in this lineup, 281 with four passing touchdowns. And of course, they go into Kansas City and they pick up the win there. So nice lineup here from Beto's. Shout out to the winner here again from week three. And Mike, you finished ninth in the contest. So you get a nice little 5X payout there. See, it was down at 76th and I was all the way down at 125th in our contest.
Can I comment on this lineup before we go?
Yes, sir.
I love this lineup and it brings a pretty big smile to my face to see it, if I'm being honest with you. And the reason why is everyone played Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the point that the ownership was higher than it was in tournaments across the industry. And then Travis Kelce, 20% owned. You guys are also listening. I harped on playing Travis Kelce all week like I did in week one. Travis Kelce in our tournament, 19% owned. In some of these other tournaments, 8% owned. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 32% owned, only 21% owned in the big tournaments. People are listening. There's a beautiful, beautiful correlation with Chase Edmonds and the defense. Yeah, the lineup makes me very happy to see. It's a very good lineup.
All right. Before we move on to anything else this week, if you follow fantasy football and the industry closely, then it's very likely that you've already heard about the tragic and unfortunate passing of Mike Tagliere, who was the lead fantasy football analyst over at Fantasy Pros. And while I never had the chance to meet Mike in person myself, I did interact with him multiple times on Twitter throughout the years and would like to echo the praises of many others that have laid out to this point. By all accounts, Tags was extremely genuine and one of the hardest workers in the industry. If you ever took a glance at his primer over on Fantasy Pros, then you know exactly how much work that he put into that each and every single week. Tags was just 39 years old and leaves behind a wife and two kids. On behalf of everybody here on Fantasy Football Today, DFS, and at CBS Sports, we send our condolences to his family, friends, and everybody over at Fantasy Pros. If you can contribute anything, there is a GoFundMe to help out his wife. I'll include the link in the podcast and YouTube description. Rest in peace, Mike Tags Tagliere. Never an easy transition, but we'll take a quick break. And when we return, we'll take an early look at week four pricing next on Fantasy Football Today, DFS.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, week four pricing is here, and we have four quarterbacks at $7,500 or more. Patrick Mahomes at the Eagles, $8,100 with a 54.5-point total. As of now, in that game, Josh Allen is going up against the Houston Texans. He is a 17-point favorite. He is 8K, just had a massive, massive game against the Washington football team. Kyler Murray is at the Rams. That game also has a 54.5-point total. He's 7,800. And then Lamar Jackson is at the Denver Broncos, the unbeaten Denver Broncos. He is 7,500. Sia, your early thoughts on the elite tier of quarterbacks in week four.
So of the elites, I like Patrick Mahomes the best. No surprise there. I think that KC Philly game will be relatively competitive, but Philly just doesn't have the resources on the back end to cover anybody on the Kansas City offense. Not only is their secondary bad as it was, but just last night on the Monday Night Football game, they lost their safety. And so they're going to be even more banged up, or I guess bad, than they were before. KC coming off a loss. I mean, I could really see Mahomes just kind of rubbing it in here and putting up 4 to 5 touchdowns. Other than that, Josh Allen is interesting to me, mostly because the implied total for Buffalo is 32.5, which I believe is the highest on the slate. It's not going to be a super competitive game, but the interesting side note there is it looks like Josh Allen is just going to throw no matter what quarter it is and no matter what the score is. I mean, it's almost like he's going for like an MVP push because he's chucking it. So I think that's an interesting game to stack. I think there's some maybe pivots there where you could just kind of like take a piece of Zach Moss and hope he gets in the end zone in the second half, something like that. But those are the two I like the most, but I like Mahomes by far the most of those four.
No, it's a good point that you bring up against Josh Allen, because if you're watching that game against Washington this past week, I'm sorry, Sia, not that I could talk, right? Like, I'm a Jets fan. They're just the worst team in football by far. It's not close. But the game wasn't really competitive, and Buffalo was still throwing. Like, Josh Allen had 43 pass attempts in this game. He had 4 passing touchdowns. He added on a rushing touchdown. You're right. It looks like they're just kind of trying to pad his stats at this point. So 17-point home favorite for Josh Allen in week four against the Houston Texans. And I do like Kyler Murray quite a bit, even though he's going up against the Rams defense, who for the most part just performed pretty well against Tom Brady. You know, he got some garbage time production. Kyler is 7,800, and that game has a massive point total as well. Other quarterbacks in games with a 50-plus total this week: Russell Wilson is at the 49ers in a divisional matchup. He's at $7,100. Matthew Stafford is on the other side of that game against the Cardinals. His price is all the way up to 7K on DraftKings, but rightfully so. He's been awesome so far this year. Jalen Hurts on the other side of the Chiefs game. He's a 7-point dog. He's 6,900 in this spot. Dak Prescott versus the Carolina Panthers. He did everything that we wanted him to do in week two on Monday Night Football when he threw 4 3 touchdowns. He is 6,700. Kirk Cousins going up against the Cleveland Browns. They are 2-point home dogs. He is also off to a great start, 6,400 in that spot. And then Sam Darnold is at the Cowboys. He is 6K, though that Dallas Cowboys defense looks much, much improved under Dan Quinn to this point. Mike, what do you think about these mid-tier quarterbacks and maybe anyone else up top that you're going to be overweight on this week?
Yeah, I can tell you that 3 quarterbacks I will have this week will be Patrick Mahomes, no surprise there, Dak Prescott, and Kirk Cousins. Those will be 3 of my quarterbacks. So some weeks, I just so everyone knows, I probably should have brought it up earlier too. On main slates, I play 5 lineups each, 5 on DraftKings, 5 on FanDuel. Cash game, 3 in a 3 max, but and then 2 that are in large field tournaments with all 5 of my lineups. Typically, I will have 3 to 4 quarterbacks across those 5 lineups. Very rarely will I have 5 different quarterbacks. But right now, it's looking like I'm going to have just these 3 quarterbacks unless value pops up and changes. And it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Kirk Cousins.
All right, let's move on to the running back position. We have 3 over 8K over on DraftKings. That includes Derrick Henry at 8,800 at the New York Jets, Alvin Kamara at 8,400 versus the Giants, and Dalvin Cook at 8,100 versus the Cleveland Browns. We still have to monitor Dalvin Cook's status throughout the course of this week to see if he will be able to play filling in for him. We said Alexander Mattison's name a bunch already today, but we didn't actually mention what he did. He had 32 touches with 6 receptions, so he was obviously awesome in that week 3 matchup against the Seahawks. Derrick Henry has 12 receptions through 3 games. He is on pace for 68 catches over a 17-game season. He has at least 31 touches in back-to-back games. So Derrick Henry is doing Derrick Henry things with an added wrinkle that he's actually kind of catching the ball now, which makes it easier to justify his price week in and week out. Alvin Kamara had that bounce-back performance, 27 touches, 118 total yards, and a touchdown. His 23% target share leads all running backs this season. Sia, what do you think about these higher-priced running backs?
There's 2 that I'm interested in. Actually, there's really just 1 I'm interested in. I think I might be willing to pay up for Alvin Kamara against the Giants, especially that, you know, their defense is a little banged up too. I think they're going to lean on Kamara that game. I don't think I want to pay up for Derrick Henry. I totally understand the appeal. It's just not going to be for me this week. I could see a scenario where in the second half, I mean, let's understand Derrick Henry has been getting a ton of carries each game, 28 carries last week as well. there's a scenario where in the second half they're up so big, it's McNichols time, or I think I'm saying that name right. So yeah, I like Derrick Henry, but not enough to pay $8,800 for him.
Some mid-tier standouts for me: Najee Harris at the Packers, $6,800. He had 19. Yes, you're hearing that correctly. 19 targets last week, 14 receptions, over 100 receiving yards, and Big Ben looks cooked. He looks absolutely done. I don't know what they're going to do. I know that there's already been reports that the organization is kind of worried over Big Ben, and they should be. But this also came with Deontay Johnson out. So we'll see what his status is throughout the course of the week. But it was just check down after check down after check down. And it all went to Najee Harris last week. Jonathan Taylor is all the way down to $6,300. He's at the Miami Dolphins. And then DeAndre Swift is averaging 20 DK points. And he's $6,200 at the Chicago Bears. Swift is second among running backs in the NFL in both targets and receptions. So, Mike, those are a few names that stand out to me: Najee Harris, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift. Of course, there's a few more lower down if you want to mention. Like Chuba Hubbard's going to be filling in for Christian McCaffrey. He's $5,900. Chase Edmonds, the old trusty Chase Edmonds. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he got a bump to $5,400, but that's still probably too cheap at the Philadelphia Eagles. So I just threw a bunch of names your way. You could talk about all of them or anyone else that stands out to you.
Yeah, we'll mention, I mean, my lineup construction might look very similar again next week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will definitely be a core piece as of right now, unless we get some real news. If Dalvin Cook sits again, Madison will be a key piece again. I agree with Sia. I'm not paying up for Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry's in a fantastic spot. It's not going to shock me at all if he scores 40 fantasy points, but the ownership levels that we'll be projecting for him do not represent his chance of being in the optimal lineup because of some of the other value plays and the top quarterbacks that we like. So I'll be completely off Derrick Henry myself. I would pay up for Alvin Kamara. I think it's interesting to stack Kamara and Saquon Barkley in the same game. I think the Giants have to lean on Saquon a little bit more here as they are banged up with the pass catching. I also think you could play Kadarius Toney if you wanted to. So I do like Alvin Kamara in that one. Other backs that I will be interested in, I will have some interest in Najee Harris, mostly because of the bring back factor and game stackability with Devontae Adams on the other side. Let's see. There was one other one that I wanted to mention. I think Nyheim Hines is too cheap, and I think the Miami defense is not actually terrible with them hosting the Colts. I think that Nyheim Hines, who I was frankly on last week, had a huge game again. I think that he's going to be relevant in tournaments again this week.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines is down at $4,900, and the Dolphins have struggled against running backs so far this season. Saquon Barkley, you mentioned, is $6,700 this week on DraftKings, which still seems too low. He was $6,500 last week. We liked him at that price. Obviously, the Saints are a little bit better against the run, well, a lot of bit better against the run than the Atlanta Falcons are, but there's no denying his role. Devontae Booker was inactive last week. He played 88% of the snaps here. I think Saquon Barkley is back. He had 6 receptions in that game as well. Let's take a look at the wide receiver position. We have 5 wide receivers over $7,500 this week. Tyreek Hill at the Eagles. We have Devontae Adams versus the Steelers. Cooper Kupp versus the Diamondbacks. Every single team that I read here, I want to say, like, my mind is automatically, like, I've caught myself a few times already. That time I missed it, but every time I see these abbreviations, I just automatically think of the baseball team. It's tough this time of year. I've got a lot of baseball and football crossover. But Cooper Kupp finally gets that massive salary boost on DraftKings. He's up to $7,800. He's the third highest priced wide receiver on the slate. DeAndre Hopkins is $7,700 in that matchup at the Rams. And then Stephon Diggs, who has not really had any crazy blow-up game yet, is at home against the Texans in that massive point spread. He's $7,600. See, I usually throw you the elite names. I'll change it up this time. Let's go to Mike for the higher price one, so you could talk a little bit about the mids here. Mike, anyone stand out here? You already mentioned Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I'm going to have Devontae Adams at the top. I think that that one's pretty obvious at this point. Looking at, you know, I think there was a ridiculous stat in this last game. He was targeted on over 50% of the routes that he ran in the game. Wow. 52% of the routes that he ran, he saw a target from Aaron Rodgers here. It's got cash gameplay written all over it, as long as the value opens up enough for us to get there. other top wide receivers? Let's see. I don't have a lot of interest at the top. I have a lot of interest in the mid-range. Do you want me to give you a mid-range guy that I love, or you want to talk about the top first?
No, you could throw it.
I'm going to be incredibly overweight on Amari Cooper in this game. I think that Jaguars, the Panthers defense, while they have played some of the softer competition so far, I think that they are good. I think they're good enough. I think they will stack the box and stop this run game after they've watched the Dallas Cowboys run the ball really well the last 2 weeks. I do think they have to throw more. I think that it's going to be an Amari Cooper game. This is an excellent spot and price point on him at 6K. If we were super excited about Robert Woods last week at a similar price point, I think you have to be about Amari Cooper here. And I don't think that he's going to garner the ownership that is going to be able to let me fade him. So I'm going to be on Amari Cooper, I think, here.
Yeah, and they are dealing with injuries in their secondary. Cornerback J.C. Horn was placed on injured reserve with, I believe it was a broken, fractured foot. So we are dealing with some injuries there in the Panthers' secondary. A few other mid-tier standouts. I did have Amari Cooper on this list. Again, love the price at 6K. Terry McLaurin inside the dome at the Atlanta Falcons, 6,900. Definitely interested in that. 28% target share on the season for McLaurin. I think Odell Beckham is pretty interesting. That huge point total against the Vikings. He is 5,800, played 64% of the snaps last week, had a 31% target share in his first game back. And then I just wanted to throw DJ Moore out there because I find it interesting. He's 6,600. He's been awesome this year. He's clearly the go-to guy for Sam Darnold. But Cowboys cornerback Tavon Diggs has really emerged. So I kind of wonder, you know, are we going to potentially fade DJ Moore because of that standout cornerback here? So, Sia, any other interesting names for you at the mid-tier?
So I like DJ Moore, and I think if you're doing a stack with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, for example, I think bringing it back with DJ Moore makes plenty of sense. As we kind of go down the list here in that sort of 6 to 5K range, Robert Woods, I mean, I don't think it's a problem taking another shot at him at 5,300. At some point, he's going to be in the wide receiver room with the wide receiver coach being like, hey, guys, I'm here too. And we know he's talented, so I expect at 5,300, I love the value there, even though he's burned people the last few weeks. Christian Kirk at 5,300. This guy's getting targeted. You know, we talked about him last week. He caught 7 of 8 for 104 yards. Going down the line, Jalen Reagor against Kansas City. You're going to have to bring that stack back with somebody. And a lot of the options are cheap. Like Quez Watkins is really cheap, for example. Jalen Reagor. Quez is only 3,500. You could maybe bring it back with Gainwell if you wanted to force a cheap running back in there. But I like those guys. And maybe I'll give you one more. Speaking of that Cowboys game, Terrace Marshall, who, by the way, had 5 targets and caught 4 of them, is only 4,000 flat. So I think that's an interesting money saver as well.
Yeah, and I think for the Eagles in particular, like I love the player Devontae Smith. I think he's going to be awesome. He didn't have a good game on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys, but I mentioned Tavon Diggs has been very good for them. Their target share is, it's kind of all over the place right now. Like Devontae Smith is at 22%. Jalen Reagor is at 20%. And you mentioned him as a value option. And of course, the tight ends are involved there. Miles Sanders kind of gets his. I think Quez Watkins is a player. So I think that they should get him a little bit more involved. But yeah, at his cost, definitely interesting. I wanted to just mention all of the Cardinals wide receivers. You mentioned Kirk at 5,300. We also get Rondale Moore at 46. We get AJ Green at 45. AJ Green coming off of a 100-yard receiving game last week. And I will throw out Walmart DK Metcalf. I know this kid's going viral on Twitter right now, making fun of the Jets every single week. And rightfully so. They deserve it. Corey Davis is 5K in a revenge game against the Titans, who are allowing the most fantasy points to wide receivers. So I'll just throw the name out there, Corey Davis. Go ahead.
I got to chime in there.
Yeah.
Because I love the Corey Davis play. In tournaments, I mentioned I might have a fourth quarterback. If I do, it will be Ryan Tannehill this week. I like some of the cheap pieces there. And I like Tannehill's price point. I like the pieces that I can pair with them and then load up on Kelsey, load up on Devontae Adams, potentially one of the big running backs that I like. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chester Rogers, both dirt cheap. Both drawing targets. Rodgers is also involved in the kicking game. Give you some upside there in a tournament. I like both of them. I think that this is a game that Derrick Henry could move the ball down the field. Ryan Tannehill can run these in, can throw these in. I think it's a very interesting tournament stack.
All right. Let's take a look at the tight end position. Of course, we have Travis Kelce standing alone up at the top. He is at the Philadelphia Eagles. at 8,100. And then we have George Kittle all the way down to 59. So his value is plummeting right now. TJ Hockenson is at 5,800. And then a few value plays that caught my eye. Dalton Schultz, the two touchdown game. He's coming off of that with, he's 3,400. We have Noah Fant, who has a pretty stable role in the offense, 4,300 up against the Baltimore Ravens. And then Tyler Conklin in that big total, 53 point total game, coming off a pretty big game, 7 receptions and a touchdown last week. He is 3,500 up against the Cleveland Browns. So a lot of moving parts here. See, we get Kelsey, we get, you know, some mid tier, and then there's some value too. Anyone else standing out to you?
I mean, Kelsey, of course. Kittle, I think, you know, at 5,900, I think there's some value there. I would say that I think this is a get-right game for the Washington football team, but also for Kyle Pitts. I think he could expose that secondary and those linebackers pretty easy at 5,000. Dallas Goedert is interesting as a bring-back, yet another bring-back in the Kansas City game. Not a ton of targets last night, but he got some high-quality targets. I love Tyler Conklin at 3,500. Below that, Schultz and Gerald Everett again, just taking a shot with him at 3,200 against that San Francisco secondary that is just not good at all.
All right, Mike, let's be honest. Are you going to play anyone outside of Travis Kelce this week?
Yes, I definitely will. And it'll be another double tight end situation to get unique. And it will be a bring back with the tight ends for Philly. I think that that's super interesting there. And then the only other one that I could see some real interest in a tournament, just because of the price point, as of right now, we're going to need some value, whether it's at the wide receiver spot or the tight end or play double tight end. When I play double tight end, it's always with Travis Kelce, and I'm always treating Travis Kelce as if he's a wide receiver, right? So yeah. I'm really not playing two tight ends. However, if we need value, I'm not going to shy away from someone like Jack Doyle. 2,700 in a game that I think is going to be competitive. Obviously, they got to win. They have to figure out a way to try and win. I like the spot for Jack Doyle at 2,700. I think that if you need a cheap punt value play, it's been wildly inconsistent on some of the targets. Saw 2 targets last week, 8 against the Rams. If you're giving a $2,700 player 8 targets, that works.
Let's wrap up quickly here with some Thursday night football showdown thoughts here. The Jaguars at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are currently 7.5-point favorites with a 45.5-point total. This Bengals defense, I mentioned them earlier, they're playing well right now. They're playing inspired football. Yes, they were going up against Big Ben last week, but Trevor Lawrence has been a turnover machine to this point through 3 games in his NFL career as well. So, Mike, anything that's popping so far in your data for the Thursday night football matchup?
I think that it's a really good bounce back spot for Mixon after that last game there. So I'll have a lot of him. I do think that the game's going to end up being competitive. I think it's probably, obviously this is a game that Trevor Lawrence has circled. It's a primetime game. It's against another young quarterback that's supposed to be very good. So I think it's a good game for the Jags. I'm not going to say they're going to go out and get their first win. If you're in the betting side, I think that they are going to cover the spread in this one. But I'll be pairing them with pass catchers. I'll have a lot of Joe Mixon still. I think Mixon is going to get there through sheer volume. And I think it's going to end up being a very high scoring game.
All right. That'll do it for Mike and C. I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Football Today, DFS. The next time that you will hear us will be Thursday as we deep dive all of the games in week 4. We'll see you then.